Hello, my name is Jack Lawwill, and with me for the interview today is Sawyer Martin, that will be recording, asking supporting questions, and taking note of important information. We will be interviewing Ben Harvey. Ben, how do you say your last name?
Banukuta.
Banakuta. Is
Good.
that correct?
Correct. You got it.
Perfect. Who is an ESL student coming to us from the Congo via Zoom? Fortunately, we are all having a good connection right now, so we can do this. We're pleased to have you with us today, Ben. The goal of this interview is to evaluate being an ESL student remotely and your experience with the education system you're currently dealing with and the one that you grew up with. And thank you again, Ben, for meeting with us today. If you agree with the consent forms, we can get started. Our interview should only take 20 to 30 minutes. If at any point you feel the need to stop, please feel free to say so. All righty.
Okay.
I can turn that thing off. I actually see you
Yeah,
guys. Yeah. Just to get started on education system, growing up as a younger person, how is the schooling system in regards to the different grades, how many grades, different curriculums, things like that you experienced?
Anglophone American system is different with our system because our system is more closer to the French system. So as normal, we have our when you start, we have our primary school, and after the primary school, we have the secondary school, and we when you from the primary school to secondary school, we have the kind of the diploma we have to pass. That is very important and is required. Is what we call a BEPC. BEPC. Yeah, that is the brevet, like the kind of diploma you have to got to move to the secondary school. And the secondary school, we call it here in French, is a lycée, is a grammar school. At lycée, we have only 3 years, and during those 3 years, that's gonna prepare you to do what we call BAC. BAC is like the diploma gonna give you opportunity to go to academic school to go to university. Yes, we have what we call baccalaureate. When you get baccalaureate, the real life starts
I
because
see.
you can go you can go to the university. So in the university, for me, I did my university in DRC, another Congo. Yeah, I did it over there. So it was the college. I did the college for almost 4 years. 4 years. We have 1 year we call preparatoire. It's like just some basic on the mathematics and chemistry and geology. And then I did the petroleum engineering. No, the refining and petrochemistry. So the system over here, when you go to the college, the lowest diploma you can have is we call it licence or graduate, is 3 years at university. The French people used to call it bac plus trois. That mean the baccalaureate plus 3 years at university. That's the diploma you get at the college. Yeah, that is what I have currently. And after the graduate or license, you have the 2 years to do again. When you do the 2 years is what you call master, maîtrise. You call it master. So master will be 5 years after the high school. Yeah, 5 years.
That's interesting. I was reading The schooling process starts at about age 5 or 6 years old, generally.
Yes, that is correct. The lowest is 5. For my case, I starting 5 years old. Mm-hmm. And as you said, there is a range between 5 to 6, 7. But they do not accept lower than 5.
Right.
When your children has lower than 5, they will not really accept. But, you know, in our system, we have the private school and the public school. The rules are more rigid when it's about the public school. Mm-hmm. But in the private school, they are more flexible.
Right. In between, for primary school, if you start between ages 5 and 6, what ages do you typically graduate the primary school from?
Yes, the primary school has, let me count it. I have CP1, CP2, CU1, CU2, CM1, CM2. We have 6 years.
Okay.
In the primary school. Six years.
I think that's where I got confused.
6 years.
When I was reading about it, it read that the whole schooling system, the way I understood it, was 6 years. But I knew that had to be wrong. So that makes more sense. The primary school is 6 years, and then you move on to the secondary school?
Yes. After 6 years, if you do not miss any classes, you go to the secondary school. And our secondary school is broken into. We have what we call college et lycée. College is a sixième, cinquième, quatrième, troisième. College has 4 years. Mm-hmm. And then after 4 years, as I told you, we have the small diploma we do. It's not really the diploma, it's the brevet.
Right.
Is something you do, is a brevet you do to go to the lycée.
Mm-hmm.
What do you call high school? When you go to the lycée.
So it's like an intermediate high school and a high school.
Correct. That's a good wording. That is a good wording.
We have at the big high school here, Union is what they call, is the branch name. That's the way they have it broken up as well, is an actual high school and then the 2 grades lower, which are still considered high school, they use as intermediate high school.
Correct, intermediate high school. So we have 4 years for that intermediate high school. And then when you do that brevet, you went to the high school just 3 years.
Hmm.
And then after 3 years, you do the first important diploma, what we call baccalaureate. Because without baccalaureate, you cannot go to university.
Oh, wow.
Yes, that is the most important. So if we take 6 years at the primary school and 7 years in the secondary school, give you access to the university. So in the total, all the school, primary and secondary school is 6 plus 7 is 30 years.
That's pretty impressive. That's longer than our education system by at least a year. Is there a large gap between what you're learning or the environment between primary and secondary school?
Yeah, yes, there is a difference. First of all, we call it a tenue. Tenue is the what we wear. What we put, the clothes is different. When you are in the primary school, you wear the cut.
Mm-hmm.
And in the secondary school, you wear the pants.
Okay.
Do you get me?
Yeah.
Just to distinguish that difference.
Right.
Primary school, you have just the cut. That's showing you are still the young guys.
Right.
But in the secondary school, you have the pants. Now you have the pants. The same color, mm-hmm. but the change will be the pants.
See, I went to a very small school. We had 18 kids in my class. and my older sister only had 7. And so when I come up here to Tulsa, to the bigger cities, there's 1,800 kids in a class, and I'm just, it throws me for a loop that how can you even process that?
But I'm telling you, in Africa, in my country, in the class, you may be more than 100.
Mm-hmm. That is insane.
More than 100, sometimes 200 when you are in some of the classes. And learning on those kind of condition is not easy at all.
That was my next question, is when it comes to help with the instructor on something you may not understand or may need a little extra help with, how do you go about getting that help? Is it from the other students, or is it from otherwise?
So that's a good question, but that the way to respond will depend on the level you are. Mm-hmm. When you're in primary school, basically the instructor is the first key. The same with secondary school. But the system is so weak, sometimes the instructor doesn't do a great job. Most of the parents hire an instructor at home. Mm-hmm. But that's gonna ask additional budget. But not most can do that. But from some parent has a good income, they mm-hmm. can do that. Most of the time, even if I had an instructor at home, because when you cannot catch up at class, at home, your private instructor is going to help you to catch up. And yes. In the secondary school, that is the level we start doing what they call a groupe de travail. Groupe de travail is you be together with friends and you start working, like the workshop, but with just the friends. Mm-hmm. That one starts at the secondary school, even if at the university. The instructor doesn't have a lot of time to sit and try to go through all your questions. He can ask during the class time, but after that, you have to pay.
Oh, wow. when it comes to the different types of classes that you're able to take, are there anything other than formal classes like English, mathematics, history, science, things like that? Do you have shop classes or machinery or things like that that are more of technical school things aside from education?
Unfortunately, again, we are behind on that area. Mm-hmm. I did math, but I never practiced math. I never been in the lab. Can you imagine?
Math is my most terrible thing in the world.
Yeah.
Three math classes.
I did chemistry, but I went just once or two times in the laboratory to do some practice. So we here in Africa, we miss the infrastructures. I don't know if it's a good wording. We miss tool and equipment to do things correctly.
Right. When it comes to those classes for college, are those some of the same things you face now, or is that a difficulty that you only faced in the secondary school?
Is the same, I'm telling you. That's why I'm saying the private school are the private school is beating the public, because the public doesn't have anything, even if the where to sit. Mm-hmm. Sometimes some class miss the place to people sit.
And a lot of that does come from government funding, things like that. And that's a big problem that we face here in the United States as well. Similarly, the school that I went to was very, very poor. Most of the people in that area were very poor. It was a farming economy, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And if you weren't a farmer, you drove 45 minutes to an hour to get to work. Mm-hmm. And that's just the way it was. Mm-hmm. But with the school system, most students would have to take government allotted lunches to where, because their parents couldn't afford to pay for their lunches, or they couldn't afford to pay for supplies or things like that. So the school mm-hmm. would have to provide a lot of those things. So we didn't have a lot of the extras, and we didn't have the newest books or anything. And I actually have only, like you, in all of my high school, I have done two labs in my science classes. One of which, where we actually did something, the first one was more of a, like you said, we didn't have all the right stuff, so it just didn't happen.
Yeah, that's the reality, unfortunately. So
it is, but it is, it's something that a lot of people face, and it's unfortunate, but it's, what I've always found interesting are the workarounds that people use to get around those type of problems. What are some of the things that you would do in those cases where you wouldn't have, say, the proper information or the proper research for a certain school project? How would you go about coming across those things?
We have some library. Yes, mm-hmm. we have library, and you know, today we are in the world of now I think 5G internet. Oof. So
yes,
that is the greatest things. I didn't use internet when I was in the high school, because mm-hmm. it was new in Africa and it was expensive to go there. Mm-hmm. But since I went to the college, I use internet source a lot, and we have some library. You can go do some search, read some mm-hmm. books, and get sort of things.
Are these public libraries, or are they owned by the school, or how does that work?
The public libraries are poor. We have it, but it's poor. We have some private library in the city, and some of the good school has their own library.
Right.
And we have what we call EFP, is the French Institute. Institut Français is the French Institute, where they set the good and large library where you can find whatever you want. So there is some fee to pay to be enrolled and be able to access to the book. So the fee is not too expensive. And that's what most of the students do.
Well, and I ask that because in some of the places that I've been, like at one point I had internet, but it was basically you had to go to these little machines and get a prepaid card. And when you would bring it up on the computer or your device, this was almost 10 years ago, you would have to put in the little code off of the card. And you would have 1 gigabyte of internet until it ran out, or so on, up to like 20 gigabytes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But it was throughout towers throughout the country is how it was provided. How is the internet provided in your country? Is it through certain contracted providers? Is it something that's readily available like that in a machine?
No, not at all. I have the good internet because I work for the big company, and that I'm doing due to the coronavirus, we are working remotely.
Oh wow!
I'm working from home. So the only way to be able to do some report, to do my job, the company was obliged to give me the good connection, and that one, to be honest, it will be expensive if I have to pay with my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's the company is paying. That's why I'm using this one. But honestly, internet is still expensive here. We have some provider. The main provider is the telecommunication, the networking company. We have Airtel, we have MTN. Those are the company, the They give access to internet, but you have to buy it.
You have to buy it.
And we have the optic fiber, the optic fiber. And we have one of the national company is doing some connection. But internet, I can say we still have some progress to do on that side. A little bit expensive compared to the neighbor country. Congo is expensive compared to another Congo. Congo is very expensive compared to Senegal. We are expensive compared to the Cameroon, to other countries in Africa.
And is that because of availability, or is it a tax, or just the company's inflation?
That's a good question. To be honest, I don't know why. Because in the past, they were saying we do not have the optic fiber. I don't know if you go to fiber optic, the optic fiber, the connection on the fiber.
Right.
I think it's a good word in fiber?
Fiber,
okay. In the past, they were saying we do not have that link, that connection. Since 2014 or 15, we got that connection. And we were expecting to see the price lower on the internet connection.
You would think it would.
Yeah, until today, it's still expensive.
Wow.
It's still expensive. And I have one of my friends who works in that company. He's telling me they are working on it with the 4G and 5G. Maybe they're going to lower the price. Because we have the internet, but the way to distribute it, we are missing the good network to distribute the connection to the population.
Okay. Now, you said you're working from home because of the coronavirus. How has that affected daily life where you're at?
Big impact, because we have the curfew starting 8 p.m.
Oh, wow.
8 p.m. to 5 p.m. I'm telling you, if you're outside,
bad news. Police,
bad news for you. So you have to be home.
Wow.
And some company restarts to work normally, but I work for a US company, Chevron company. They are more strict on the rules. Yeah, we for Chevron, we are still doing homework. But if you look under the French company, under company, they resume normally. We still have some barrier to follow, like let me show you, like this one, the mask. Do you see?
Oh, wow. Yes, we're having to wear masks at school as well.
Yes, when you go out, you have to put your mask. If you forget it, there is the penalty to pay. If the police get you, you have to pay the penalty. If you don't pay the penalty, you will go to the jail. So we have some kind of restriction that doesn't make life good. But the big one is the curfew. No way to go out after 8 p.m.
Has that affected you badly in any way as far as the things that you need to do for your family, like getting groceries, things like that?
That obliged me to make sure before 8 I have everything home. So if I have to buy, for example, the bread, if I have to buy water, if I have to buy any good things, I have to do it before that time. If I forget it, no way. And sometimes you may have medical emergency. That is the only option you can have when you go out. If the police arrest you, you have to tell them, so look, for example, I have my son is feeling bad, I'm going to the hospital. And you know, in Africa, a lot of people has misunderstanding. If they are nice, they can understand, say, okay, go ahead. But if they are too complicated, they can give you hard time. So it's different.
Yes, I know exactly what you mean. I've been to a few places where if you don't do what they say when they say to do it, it's just going to be a bad time.
Yes, really bad time.
And you said your son is sick. Is he okay?
Oh no, that's just an example.
Oh
yeah, no. The on the first appointment, yes, I missed appointment. It was on Monday. No, Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Yeah, on Tuesday. Okay, on Tuesday, what happened? Normally, Tuesday I do not have class. That is the day to do my homework, to
right.
do some reading, because I'm getting a lot of homework with mathematics class, English, so. So, and I was ready to do my interview when it was around, I think, three or two from my time.
Mm-hmm.
I was feeling my son was fever. I said, okay, I'm gonna give him just medicine. It's gonna wait, not worry. But after 30 minutes or so, he's starting to
shiver.
To shiver, I say, okay, no, I have to go to the hospital.
Yeah,
I dropped everything. I went to the hospital. It was just the flu.
Right.
Yeah,
how old is your son?
The first one is 3 years old. 3 and 5 months.
Wonderful. I have an 8-year-old and a 3-year-old myself.
Ah, good. My second is a daughter. She is just 1 year and some mm-hmm. months. 1 and 6 months.
I've got 2 little girls.
Oh, 2 girls. I have boy and girls.
You got lucky. I got
Yeah.
That's why I'm with 3 women.
I said to my wife, let's stop the no kid anymore.
No,
they are too expensive.
Yeah, yes, especially girls.
Yeah, I'm telling
especially
you.
Especially when they grow into big girls and they like to go shopping. So back to the schooling portion of this, what you were used to growing up and your formal schooling in the Congo, how have you noticed any differences or similarities in what you've experienced abroad?
Yeah, I have that opportunity to school in GRC, but mm-hmm. GRC on the college or the primary school and the secondary school, I did it in my Congo, Congo Brazzaville. And there is a slight difference, but in the global we have the same number of the year to mm-hmm. do the what we call baccalaureate, 30 years, 6 primary school, 7 in secondary school. We have the same years, but the they do not have intermediate college.
Okay. So
yes.
It's just structured.
Intermediate high school, they do not have. So the primary school, it sounds the primary school take a lot of time of period. And then you go to secondary school, and then straight away you go on what they call humanity. So the naming difference. We have mm-hmm. college, they do not have college, they have humanity. We have, so there are the small difference. And in terms of the efficiency, people used to say GRC, they are more strong than us.
Mm-hmm.
That is most of the testimony of people. GRC have the stronger system than our Congo. I don't know why, but to me, I don't see the big difference. But
right. And it could be something just as little as, you know, class sizes, attention to students, things like that.
I think they are, is GRC the big country? They have a lot of school. They are more trained.
Right. That's what I mean. They have, they have a lot more resources at their
correct.
Ability to be able to teach.
That's what I think.
Large classes.
I'm going to give you an example. Our Congo has only one public university.
Oh, wow. That is very small. How big is the university that you do have?
Big. I don't know if I'm going to tell you big. It's split. You have the Faculty of Science here. You have the Faculty of Medicine here. You have the Faculty on Commercial here. It's not one plot. No, it's not like you in the US. No, it's not like that. It's the mess. Sorry to tell that. It's my country, but it's the mess.
It's a mess. Trust me, when you say it's a mess, the town that I'm from, I can't leave that town for more than a week or two and not talk to anybody there without getting some kind of phone call or text message from somebody. Hey, this happened. So and so is saying this about so and so. Or the small town politics that come into play for smaller communities are ridiculous in comparison to living in a larger city.
What is your city? Where you come from?
I am from a little town called Braggs in Oklahoma. I live in Tulsa currently, but that's where I grew up, was Braggs.
Okay. But it's on the state of Oklahoma.
Yes.
It's a small city.
Braggs is about 60 miles from Tulsa, so kilometers 0.6.
Yeah, me too. I use kilometers than miles.
It'd be like 140 kilometers, something like that.
Yeah. Okay. When you use miles, I have to convert.
Yeah, I do. I do the same thing because I was in the military, so I've been, like I said, I've been to about 10 different countries. I haven't been to Africa yet, but it's on my list. My last venture was England and Scotland and Amsterdam. My next venture, I want to go somewhere tropical because the cold is getting old.
Okay.
In
Africa, in Africa. Africa is good.
Yes. And that's what I was going to ask. When it comes to your country, are there tourist attractions? Do you get many tourists? And how do people in your country react to that?
No, you know, I'm telling you. I'm not saying that because I'm from my country. But one thing from Congo is... all people say that is the peace. For example, my boss is from London. I have a lot of boss. The first one was from the US, another one from US. Now my current boss is from London. But when I ask them, what do you like here? They say, peaceful. You can work at any time. You can do whatever you want. You will not be in trouble. Just know maybe some tips. But people are kind generally, and we have a lot of expatriates. Most of people here doesn't really come for tourists, but come from job, from work, because we have Pointe Noire is a city where we operate oil and gas. So those company, oil and gas, have a lot of expatriates. The Europe and American people come to work. And we have also the big port. And at that port, we have a lot of expatriates as well. So most of foreign people are expatriates. Some tourists, yes, they used to come to see the big forest because we have the second big forest of the country is here. Between both Congo. So most people come to see animals, to go to the forest, to do some visits. Yes.
See, that would be what would attract me, is because I'm a very outdoors person.
Okay.
I love being outdoors. I love nature. I'm actually going to school to be in horticulture business, in agriculture. Good.
That one, agriculture, is something... we used to do that, but we never reach the how can I say, the high level of agriculture. We were doing it just to feed.
Right. It wasn't an economic standpoint. It was
Correct.
it was a need.
It was a need. But now people realize, oh, we can make huge money with agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
And people are starting to invest on agriculture. But in the past, it was just a need just for to get food. But now
Right.
people are trying to invest more and more.
And that brings me to my next question is when you're putting your children through the schooling, are you doing their tutoring? Is their schooling different than the curriculum that you had when you were their age?
When you look at the age of my children, they are not in the primary school yet. So
Mm-hmm.
they are on the preschool. We call it preschool. Preschool
Mm-hmm.
is like just like kind of a gallery
Right.
where you can, yeah. So my wife just started to work this year. So last year, we didn't have the need to put the children to the school because my wife was there. But now she's just starting to work. That means she's out almost all the day from home. The good thing, this period I'm doing homework.
Right.
So basically, I'm staying with the children. So I'm focused sometimes to do my job and to do my classes. So we have in English they call the housekeeper.
Mm-hmm.
The house,
The
housekeeper, I
housekeeper.
think. Yeah, we have the housekeeper, and she do the babysitting at the same time. So when he finished to do some cleaning the house, she stay with the with my two children, and most of the time he lives here around 5 p.m. That's the time my wife is already back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is my immediate difficulty on that for your case. But from my side, when they will reach the age to go to the primary school, in the primary school is the basic things. I think to have the good relationship with your children, I think it's better the dad become the private instructor at home. Instead of hiring another people. Because as you said, yourself, you're gonna learn, you're gonna teach something to yourself. And when the dad will teach something to your children, you will do it with a lot of emotion, a lot of love behind. You will communicate better than the strange people.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think. All the primary school, I will do my best to follow the progress of my children, how they are learning, if they are good on this, if they have some difficulty on this one. Maybe when they will reach the secondary school, I can maybe hire the people to continue with them. And also, something I would like to do is to give them an opportunity to have maybe the better instruction I've get.
Mm-hmm.
And in our country, the only way to do that sometimes is to give them the chance to travel.
Mm-hmm.
After the baccalaureate, when your parent has something to afford those expense, most of the young go out the country to do the school, France, US, London, and another African country more structured than us. That is the only way you can give opportunity to your children, because in our country we have the limited training. If
mm-hmm.
you stay here, we know you're gonna do some accounting, you're gonna do medicine. You have the already known area you can go, but even if all that area, sometimes you do not get the correct training, the correct basic on that. You have the basic, but it's not what people like. That's why
Right.
people prefer to send their children outside. If you have money in the US, London, in Europe, or another African country.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I would like to do.
And I know there are a lot of African countries. Are there a lot of African universities, like large universities for international use. Have you ever been to any of them as far as just visiting, things like that?
No. I'm the very Congolese guy. I grew
Yeah.
up here, I do everything here. I just went to the college in DRC, but DRC just the neighborhood. I've been somewhere else. I never traveled. Yes, I went to the vacance once, the vacation once in Ghana, Accra, but for just 2 weeks. But globally, yes, we have the good reputation university in Africa. We have it. I'm going to go to you some country. We have South Africa. We have good university there. There are a lot. We have a good university. The country I've been, Accra, Ghana. And we have some in Namibia. And then those three countries are the Anglophone country. We realize most of the good education are in the Anglophone country. The Anglophone system are the good system. I don't know why. Maybe English is the most speaking country, speaking language or what, maybe that's right. But South Africa, Anglophone country, Ghana, Anglophone country, Namibia, Anglophone country, they speak English. And then if you go to the Francophone country, I will take Senegal, I will take Morocco, I will take Tunisia, I will take Algeria, Cameroon. Those countries, the Francophone, they have also some good university with a good reputation.
Oh, and speaking of English speaking, how many languages do you speak, Ben?
English is the last for sure. Let's start with the language I'm more fluent. French, Lingala, Kikongo. And Lari, and then English. So
Oh,
five.
wow, 5 languages.
Yes.
I can speak one.
No. You know what? I've met American people. The American people, I don't know.
Don't know why no one learns other languages, but
Correct. The
they just
American
don't.
people, they are America. They are the leader of the world. They don't want to learn another language.
Like,
They don't know to learn another culture. Even if
I have, yeah,
my
I
boss is
have
like
tried to learn a couple of different languages. Like when I go to a new place, I'll learn the basic, hello, how are you, things like that. But it never sticks, and I don't know why. But like
because you are
when I was
American.
probably, like I learned when I was
know?
in UAE, I learned a little bit of Farsi. When I went to Mexico, I grew up around a lot of Spanish-speaking people, so I halfway understand it.
I'm gonna tell you the story. My boss spent 5 years in Congo. 5 years in the Congo. And we used to have what they call team building. We used to go out to restaurants, eat, drink, have fun. But my boss had the French teacher during 5 years. But every time when I would go to the restaurant, he was unable to order his food in French. Every time he's gonna start, and then Ben, help me. I said, but John, this is your 5 years in the Congo. Try to do something. Come on. English not man. I start learn speaking English because I work for the Anglophone country, Anglophone company. That's why I'm trying to struggling with English. But if I didn't have that chance to work for Anglophone country, English, I will not learn it. So I
Was
learned
it
English
hard
just
to
on
learn?
the, sorry?
Was it hard to learn?
Not hard, but it will not be the focus of my attention. Because I'm gonna tell you an example. I just speak at English at office. Out of the office, people speak another language. English just when you got to the office, because my boss is not Congolese. Some of the colleagues are not Congolese, so I have to speak English with them. But out of the office, people doesn't care English. People just speak French and local language. But for some people who used to travel, yes, they know the value of English. They try to learn it.
The bad part is I can understand you better than I can most Americans.
Really?
Oh, yes. And it's just because of a lot of the slang words and people just not talking properly. I don't know why they do it, but they do. I've always been someone who speaks very clearly when I try to speak and get my point across fairly quickly, you know, just for so people understand me. But a lot of the people, and it's mostly younger people, they just make up words anymore.
Yeah, that's difficult for us also. We have, you have the good accent. You, when you speak, I understand you very well. But some of the native speaker, when they speak, it's like he's singing. I'm lost. What is talking about? And I had also the chance by working with children, I've attended some class. I'm Congolese, you have people from Angola, you have people from another country, you have people from Russia, you have people from Colombia. We are coming with a different accent, you see. And that helped me to try to understand different accent as well. Because when you talk with someone from Colombia, the accent is different. When you call with, you talk with someone from Russia, English accent is different. Oh, yes. When you talk to someone from Nigeria, he's an African, but he's different accent than me.
Yep.
My accent is more French. No, so those different accents, that helped me to better understand different people.
Ironically, the most difficult accent that I've come across to be able to understand is actually an English-speaking accent. It's people from England and people from Australia. People from Australia, I can understand perfectly fine. People from England, a lot of the times, I was deployed overseas with a lot of English troops and Australians, and this is how I figured it out. The English guys, I would have to watch their mouth and their lips to understand half the things they were saying. But the Australian guys, I could understand them just fine. It was strange because it was a very similar accent, but worlds apart at the same time. It was interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, it was. But the good thing, you have a good experience. You have a good experience.
I try to. Do you have anything that you'd like to add or ask yourself, Sawyer?
I am curious why you chose to study at TCC.
Okay, thank you for the question. I didn't choose to start on TCC. It was when I applied, it was on Tulsa University, because I understood the difference on Tulsa University and Tulsa Community College, which is TCC. So when I applied for Tulsa University, I applied as a transfer student, because I've done the college. I said, I have to have the credit of my college to be transferred that credit to the Tulsa University to do petroleum engineering. Unfortunately, for some reason, all my credit has not been accepted. So they told me, we're going to take you, but you have to restart everything at the beginning. That was bad news for me, because I was expecting just to do 2 years or 3 years, 2 years maximum. But now I have to do 4 years to get graduate. Mm-hmm. And Tulsa University has the system they call Pathway Program. So I was eligible for the Pathway Program. So, but the Pathway Program gonna, in my understanding, gonna prepare me to start the as the freshman at the first year. And on the Pathway Program, I have mathematics and English. So on the English side, with Tulsa, I'm doing writing class, and with TCC, I'm doing speaking class and reading class. So Tulsa gave me that assignment. They told me, your Pathway Program gonna require you to do few classes with TCC, few classes with Tulsa. So I've doing mathematics and writing, English writing with Tulsa, speaking, reading with TCC. So that's why I'm with you. So at the beginning, I never know I would be to Tulsa. I was thinking everything would be just Tulsa, but they let me know I have to do TCC and then Tulsa. That's the story.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That is one of the things that we had wondered is why Tulsa? Like
Why Tulsa? Mm-hmm. Why Tulsa? Because my country manager, the boss of Chevron Congo. Mm-hmm. I have to ask you the question. I think you study in Tulsa because I was selected for the scholarship program. The scholarship, our company every year, it used to look on his employee. He's gonna select the high potential employee, saying, okay, this employee has some skill, has some competencies. What opportunity we can give him to grow up on his career? Okay. Mm-hmm. So based on my performance, the past 8 years with this company, this Chevron, say, I have the career development, I have the CDP, the career development plan. So in my career development plan, I'm supposed to work as an engineer. And currently I work as technical assistant. That mm-hmm. means someone support an engineer. So I would like to become an engineer. I had two options, to go back to the school just in Africa to do 2 years or 1 year and then become an engineer, or to go to the big school, like American school, to get mm-hmm. a diploma. And my country manager advised me to apply for Tulsa. He's the one he recommended me to apply for Tulsa. I never knew Tulsa. When he told me that, I went to the internet, I tapped Oklahoma Tulsa, I tried to read. I never been in the US. I tried to apply, good news, I was admitted. Unfortunately, I have to do 4 years for the senior like.
And that's honestly why we ask, is because if you were to drop a pin on a map, Tulsa is nearly almost the very center of the country. But that is interesting. The similarities, and because Tulsa actually used to be known as the oil capital of the world. There's a lot of oil and natural gas that comes mm-hmm. out. There are companies that come out of Tulsa. So mm-hmm. that may be a connection as to why your company wanted you to choose Tulsa in particular.
I guess.
No idea. That's just speculation.
Yeah, but it's good speculation. But I will ask my boss why he recommended me to apply. Because I had a lot of university, LSU. I saw a lot option mm-hmm. to apply. The one of the university, when my colleague was talking about, is LSU. I don't know a lot. Is the Louisiana State University?
Yes.
And when I went there, I was about to apply for that. And then my boss told me, "Go for Tulsa." I just did what the boss want.
Right. and it's funny you bring up LSU, because a lot of people in Louisiana, and especially in Baton Rouge and places like that, they are there is a lot of French speaking people.
It correct. Is
very familiar to them.
That's so why.
It may
that's
have been
why. On you. Yeah, that's why my colleague advised me LSU because himself was in LSU. He told me my colleague is from Suriname. His Suriname mm-hmm. is the south of America, I think. Yeah, mm-hmm. he's from Suriname, but he told me, Ben, I left my country, I went to US, I was to LSU, but I've met a lot of French people. A lot mm-hmm. of people speak French, a lot of people from Africa. If you go there, you will feel like at home. That's what he asked me. Mm-hmm. But now, in other side,
if you were to go to Louisiana, it wouldn't feel like French people. There's a bunch of alligators and hillbillies down there. There's a lot of swamps and basically in the cities, yes, it is a very, very French atmosphere as mm-hmm. far as the food, the mm-hmm. a lot of the people and mm-hmm. even some of the architecture. Mm-hmm. But once you get outside the cities, it pretty much all just goes downhill from there. And I say downhill literally into swamps. It's a lot of mm-hmm. swampland. It's a lot of marshes. Mm-hmm. It's a large fishing community. Alligator hunting, things like that is what a lot of Louisiana is. And yeah. a lot of mosquitoes. My father is from Louisiana. That's why I say that.
Okay, that's why you know that. Okay.
Yeah.
So, but Tulsa, I will come and visit Oklahoma. I don't know anything about Oklahoma, but
Oklahoma
in a few months.
It's like you say with the Congo, it's very peaceful. The people here are very, very nice, very homely. They'll help you if you need help, say, and I say that because I've been to a lot of places in America, especially. I've been to about 36 states, and in some of those states, the people aren't very nice. They're assholes. Excuse my language, but that's that's just the way it is. They weren't very nice in some of those places. In some of the places, people are as genuine as can be. Mm-hmm. And that is something that I look at when I go to a different country is how do the people interact with you? How are you getting in their way? Are you an annoyance? You know, how is it that their daily life fits together? Mm-hmm. That's why I wasn't a big fan of London, because the people were very, very nice. But I just felt like I was in everybody's way because it's a very busy city. Everybody was going somewhere. Everybody had somewhere to be. And it wasn't, they needed to be there like 10 minutes ago. But it wasn't something that they weren't polite about either. They, excuse me, sir, madam, things like that.
Yeah.
Whereas,
in the UK.
Yes, whereas you can go other places in the world, America's no different, and you won't get that same feeling from different people. And that's just the cultural differences. And it's not necessarily the country, areas in the country is what I think has a bigger thing to do with it.
Yeah.
How would you say that interaction in the Congo, would you say the people in the city are more friendly than the people outside the cities or vice versa?
Yeah, most of the time is the case. Generally, people are kind.
Humble.
They know how to receive people from another country or even here another place. Mm-hmm. But when you compare the city with the location inside, there is always a difference. People from the city He knows the business. He knows everything. So he can put you in the trouble because he wants to get some benefits from you behind you. But people from village, people from inside, they are more kind than people from the city. In general, I will say the Congolese are open, nice. But if we compare, if you do the comparison between people from the downtown, from the city, and people in the inside of the country, those small locations, they are more open. They are more open, they are more nice, they are more polite. They are more polite and they are more honest. Honesty, they are more honest.
And that's why I ask, is that is a large part of what I've experienced in most of the places that I've been in the world. I mean, with and UAE is a perfect example. We were about 15 miles outside of Dubai, and there was villages near our base, and we would go to the different villages, and the people would, I mean, they would have whole meals made for us, and it's not something we asked for, and half the time they didn't even know we were coming. They would just prepare it. Whereas, and they were very open-armed people as far as welcoming. They were very humble. But when you would go into the city, into Dubai, the city became a very busy environment. Everyone has something to do.
It's on business.
Yes. Whereas, you know, and I think that has a lot to do with the attitude of the people of what is their daily life, you know? Because if you grow up in a smaller place like that, your daily life consists of living, growing things, you're doing things with your community. Whereas a lot of people in the cities, they don't interact with their communities as much as someone in a smaller community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and that's really what's brought a lot of my questions, as me being from someone from a small community, is how these people act differently, how the different environments are, different cultures, things like that. And that's why I like to go into different cultures, is because I grew up in a small town. It's always fun to see somewhere new and how people are. And
you want to discover something different. Yeah, it's normal.
Yes. and the food is always nice because...
Yeah. The food from country, we have big fish here. Really? When I used to receive people from outside, I used to bring him on one of the... restaurant, well-known, popular restaurant, we call Gaspar. And Gaspar has the speciality of doing big fish. When I say big, it can be like this. So it's big one. And when they put it on your plate to finish it, oh my God, it's not easy. And we have bananas, the fried banana. Most of the time that fish you have to be eat with bananas, fried bananas, and our local food we call sakasaka is the famous local food we have, sakasaka. So all the expatriates like that food when they come here, and our local beer as well. We have the local beer. I don't know if you drink, but we have the local beer here. It's not like your beer is too small. When I look at the movies in the US, the small beer. No, our beer is big. Guys. Yeah, the big one, like from Germany guys. Yeah, we have the big beer. So life is good. Eating, drink here. We can say we are good.
Right. When it comes to your, like say in America, we eat the biggest cattle for us are cows. Is it the same in the Congo, or Do you have a different cattle species, like say the oxes or buffalo? What's the most prevalent, I should say?
I didn't really get you. Go back. Can you repeat your question?
When in the Congo, what is the popular meat, basically, that people fawn for?
Okay. Yes. The popular. If we have to talk the popular, I will go back to the Saka. So we have a lot of food, but we have the main. When you have the food, you have to eat that food with something. What we call complement is like, for example, it's going to be difficult. For example, there is some food in your case you eat with the bread.
Mm-hmm.
Some other food you eat with the rice.
Right.
Okay, so over here we have the basic. The basic, we have two basic. We have what we call manioc and fufu. That is the local one. Mm-hmm. And the favorite food people used to eat is saka. Saka is like the leaves of one of the plants. Mm-hmm. The leaves of one of the plants we have to mill and then come up with the saka. Saka, you can keep it, is the most popular food in the Central Africa. When I say Central Africa, I take Congo, both Congo, I take Cameroon, I take Central Africa.
So it's a staple in the whole environment.
Yes, that is the famous one. And then we eat a lot of fish here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there a lot of red meat that goes around in your area?
A lot of red?
Red meat, like as far as cows, oxes, buffalo. And I ask that because when I was in the Middle East, they eat a lot of camel over there. And camel is a lot like beef, but way better.
Yeah. We have some come from the inside of the country. Mm-hmm. But it's a little bit expensive. The best way to get it cheaper is when you go inside the country.
Mm-hmm.
When you travel from city to another city, on the road you see some town people went to the trap, one of the animals, and then trying to sell it. You can buy it and then come and then eat it. Yes, we have some.
Okay.
We have some.
And where I'm from, that's a huge part of the economy in my little town, is a lot of people are cattle farmers.
Okay.
They don't ever seem to do anything with them, but keep them in a big field, but they've got them. But how they typically work is they would take their cattle every year to the farming sales and sell the calves, the steers, the younger ones that they didn't use for breeding, to the open markets for beef and places like that. This is something I've asked a lot of people from different countries, is how they do that. And I came up with that question because when I was in England, I found a restaurant that provides all of its own meat, and they grow the majority of their produce on an estate that the restaurant owned. It's the oldest restaurant in London. It's called Rules. And they had all different kinds of meat, as far as like lamb, mutton, beef, things like that. But it all tasted it tasted much richer than something you would buy at a store. I'm guessing because it was farm raised, but that's why I always ask a lot of questions when it comes to, you know, food, how their daily life, things like that.
Mm-hmm. But you prefer fish or meat? Looks like you are more than meat.
I actually like both a lot. I am a big fisherman. I've been actually trying to get out to the stream and go trout fishing for like 3 weeks now. And my buddy hadn't seemed to be able to get me off out of the house to do it yet. So I'm actually, I like all kinds of meat when it, whether it's fish or just regular beef or chicken. I like vegetables, but I eat more meat than vegetables.
That is the case of most of people.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I love vegetables, but they have to be done right.
Yeah. That is it. You know, meat, you can miss it, but it still be good. It still be taste good. But vegetable, when you miss something, you will not be tasty.
Like, even my green beans have bacon in them. Well, Ben, I think we're getting the time here.
It was good. It was good. We can't just speaking like that and do more than 30 minutes. It was great and interesting.
Yeah. This has been wonderful, Ben.
Yeah, I appreciate.
Is there anything you like to add, Ben, for a conclusion?
No, we go through a lot of question, a lot of aspect. I really appreciate Jack's questions because he has a lot of experience because he traveled a lot.
Yes, he does.
I understand why he has a lot of experience. It was good. I really enjoyed this interview.
Thank you. Excuse me if I talked a little bit too much.
No, it's good. It's good, and I really appreciate your accent. Is easy for me to understand
because some of the
accent to me is a little bit challenging. With yours, I can understand you clearly.
Perfect. Yeah, because I do know some people with very thick accents, and it's not by any fault of their own. They're just hard to understand. Well, I suppose we can go ahead and stop the recording.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you again for your time, Ben.
Okay. Thank you.